101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. I'm whispering because I don't want to wake up the baby.
Yeah.
Caddo Parish School Board member Katie McLean joining us. Katie, good morning.
Good morning. And we are going to try to keep the two-year-old asleep while we're on the phone. I'm going to do my best.
Okay, good.
Okay, absolutely. You recently said that if there's not a teacher pay raise in the Caddo Parish School Board budget, that you're not voting for the budget. Where are we on that?
Yes, I will not vote in favor of a budget that does not include a pay raise. And I don't mean specific to teachers either. I mean, we have paras that are barely making enough to get by. And if you saw what some of these people are doing day in and day out, you would completely understand that they need to make a living wage.
And explain what a para is.
A para can be a lot of different things. So it's essentially your all-around helper in the school. You have paras in your SPED classes. And, I mean, some of these people are caring for severe and profoundly disabled children for 8 hours a day. And they're not making a living wage. But I will say that we have an administration that is putting forth so much effort in making these positive changes in the schools. And I'm hoping that when we get our budget presented to us, we can work something out, because I have been requesting financial information on how we can provide raises for almost 6 months now.
What's the optimum pay raise you would like to see in the budget?
So what I would prefer is to do not a percentage raise across the board, but rather just like a one amount pay raise across the board. So maybe $1,500 across the board, as opposed, and I'm just throwing these numbers out, as opposed to a 5% increase across the board. Because if we do 5% across the board, you've got a para maybe making $20,000 a year. And I'm just trying to do quick math in my head, so please bear with me. That's only going to be, what, maybe a $500 raise?
Right.
Whereas if you have someone making $150,000 a year, they'll get a $7,000 raise. Mm-hmm. And so I would love if we could figure out a way to do one large amount that we add into their salaries as opposed to a percentage. But I have not seen a budget yet. I don't know, but I'm hoping that we can make something work.
Would the amounts be different based on somebody's salary, or would it be the same one amount though across the board?
I would like to see the same amount across the board.
Gotcha.
Because I don't want, and you know, in business, you would want to do merit-based raises, right? You would, okay, this is an extremely good employee. We want to give this employee way more. But it's a little more difficult in government work, and you want to make sure that everyone is well taken care of, and you don't want to exclude anybody from something like that.
Do you have the support from other board members on this proposal to at least give something to teachers?
Yes, I believe that the other board members I've spoken with are in extreme favor of finding a way to make a raise.
Do we have the money?
I hope so, but I have not seen the budget yet.
Okay. What about the superintendent's proposal? Have you talked to him about it, and do you think he's planning to put an increase in?
I hope so, but I don't know, because I have not looked at the budget yet. So we'll enter budget. See, I believe our first budget session is June 2nd. And my stance is I'm willing to make some cuts if we have to, and do what we can to make sure that our employees are getting a better pay.
Can you help with this grand debate? If you listen to Alan Seabaugh, he says the job of teacher pay is not the state legislature. It is the local school boards. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a nuanced topic because they are employed by our local school board. We receive a ton of money from the state, and we also have to follow a ton of state guidelines. And there's a lot of red tape that has to be dealt with because of the state guidelines. And so it's not like we're just a completely independent body. We are very much dependent on the state.
Caterpillar School Board member Katie McLean, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caterpillar School Board member Katie McLean on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. You had a vote yesterday on redistricting for the school board. Why did that even come up? I think there was just a redistricting done about 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question, but we can look at the school board, and it's a 6-6 board with 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats. And that is not the case with the Caddo Commission. So I was not in favor of redrawing lines. It would have affected my district in particular. And heck, maybe the Caddo Commission should just mirror our lines instead.
Were they trying to get more Democrats?
That's what it appears, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, if they wanted to mirror the Caddo Commission lines, which would essentially switch it to a 7-5 Democratic mm-hmm. majority, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Y'all voted with it, a 6-6, yeah.
Y'all voted it down pretty handily. That was kind of surprising. 10-2 voted it down. Not the time to do it, right?
Yeah, we just redistricted 4 years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad it was voted down then.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get much more fair than 6-6.
I agree.
Thank you so much. Ten Commandments now, state law, must be posted in all public school classrooms. There was a teacher that came up and said, I want a religious dispensation on posting this. What was the decision on that?
So I'm going to be very careful when commenting regarding specific employee issues. But we did vote to send that to get an opinion from the Attorney General, which is probably the best thing to do to be safe.
Have you heard complaints from other teachers, or is there just one particular teacher?
I've not heard any other complaints. Now, I have seen some things on social media, but no one has specifically come to me and said, hey, Katie, I have a problem with this, and here's why, or here's what I'd like to do. It's almost been exclusive to seeing some things on social media.
They're now up in all the classrooms. They have posted the Ten Commandments. Have you had any parents or anybody that have mentioned problems with this, or any students that you know about at this point?
No, I have not.
Okay.
We know Barry Rochelle said, look, this is state law, and we're going to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
So they are mm-hmm. planning on getting the commandments posted.
Yes. Yes.
And they're not causing a disturbance in the schools. Nothing like that has been found at this point.
I've not received any emails or phone calls about it. I have only seen a few things on social media.
Let's track back to the budget a minute real quick. When do you anticipate you'll actually get the budget?
I don't have a calendar in front of me. I believe June 2nd is when we should have a hard copy of that budget.
Okay. And it's a million pages long? You've got to read a million pages in about 2 weeks?
It's a lot. It's many pages long, yes. But I will say our finance team, I mean, they are working around the clock on getting that thing ready and squared away. And they do a really great job of walking us through every page on there.
And the first budget session is going to be June 2nd, you said?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Okay. Today, and I believe tomorrow, is the final day of school in Caddo Parish. I guess, let me give you a minute while we got a minute left here. Your message to teachers, parents, and all that for this school year. We had a pretty successful year, huh?
I agree. I have received less complaints and phone calls about things going awry this year than I think any other year. I mean, really, I've received more positive input. The complaints that I have, which have been few and far between, have been addressed extremely quick by Mr. Burton. And I'm very pleased with how this school year has gone.
Now, Jordan Thomas told us earlier in the week that the Caddo Parish school system is down 400 positions. Are you familiar with that?
So I'm not extremely familiar with it, but I know that if there was a major problem, Mr. Burton would let us know that, there's this big problem and we have to fix it. And as far as I know, things are running very smoothly and there's not any kind of major shortage crisis.
A pay boost would certainly help cure that, though. That's for sure, huh?
I think that a pay boost would really, really help with the morale.
Gotcha. Katie McLean, Caddo School Board member, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, trucks now being allowed back on I-20. Construction 99.999% finished. Aaron Buchanan with DOTD gives us an update coming up just after the break. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
.1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with DOTD, Aaron Buchanan joining us. Aaron, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I appreciate you being willing to give us an update. I saw where trucks are now not being allowed on the I-20. They're not being routed on the 220 anymore. Tell us, are we completely finished with the I-20 construction?
We are very close to being completely finished. I know everybody is anxious to be able to say that we are officially done. We're in the final stages of applying permanent roadway striping, just addressing some of the final tasks, making sure all the signage, the roadway lighting is working, those types of things, to be able to officially say that we're finished. But we do feel like we're at a point now where we can lift that prohibition safely. You know, as everybody will remember, you know, that's why it was put into place in the first place, was for the safety of everybody, not just the CMV drivers, but passenger vehicles as well throughout the work zone. There were some very narrow sections of the construction zone for much of the work. And so, you know, that was the initial purpose of that. But we're at a point now to where we're within just a few weeks of officially wrapping everything up. And so I know that the CMV drivers and bus drivers and everybody that drives those types of vehicles are probably very relieved to hear that this has been lifted.
It's been a 3-year project, and a lot of people don't quite understand why it took so long. You completely removed pavement that dated back to the 60s and then rebuilt the road, right?
Yeah, it's been 2.5 years. This was the first time, as everybody will recall, that this type of project has ever been done to this section of interstate. So, you know, when it felt very rough, that's because it was very old pavement that was in place. It was the original pavement from when the interstate was built, that section of interstate, like you said, back in the 60s. And so this was the very first time that we've ever ripped everything up down to the dirt and rebuilt it fully, all new material. And so that takes time. And I know a lot of people kind of, you know, feel like things should happen quicker. But, you know, you don't want to cut corners with this type of thing. And so, you know, we're making sure that everything is as it should be. Everything is correct before, you know, we final everything out. And so, yeah, it takes time to rebuild, to build an interstate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even this small section. So this is about 3.5 miles of total rebuild. And it was time, as we all know.
Now, I know there's been some patchwork on sections of I-20 as you come through Shreveport on both east and westbound. Is there more construction planned for Shreveport? What's next?
Yeah, we do have a future project for I-20 on the Caddo side. That project is still kind of in development at this time. We are hoping to get some additional funding to be able to expand kind of the scope of that, but it was stretched from I-220 on the Shreveport side to I-49. And that would, we hopefully rehab it. I don't know if it'll be a full rebuild as we did on the Bossier side, but it certainly will be some very significant repairs to that portion of the I-20 corridor that are also much needed. You know, it's no secret about
absolutely.
That either.
Absolutely.
So
there's
one section, about
a mile section near Monkhouse that goes from concrete to the asphalt type surfacing. Why is there a difference there? And it's so much smoother, that one section. Then it goes back to asphalt back to concrete. Then it goes to asphalt west of town. Why the difference in paving?
There's a few different reasons why asphalt is used on certain projects as opposed to concrete. If you've got multiple miles of roadway that you're paving, typically, like we repaved within the last few years from Monkhouse to the state line, Texas state line. So when you've got a large area of just straight miles, a lot of times asphalt is the more feasible material to use. It's cost effective. It's easier for our crews to maintain in the long run. But in urban areas and maybe in smaller doses, you would put concrete down. There are obviously pros and cons to both of those materials. And so concrete's more expensive, but it does have a longer lifespan in terms of when you have to start maintaining it. So a lot of factors go into deciding what asphalt down as opposed to concrete, but this, you know, this project, the rehab project, the contractor bid concrete, and with the traffic volume in that section, you know, obviously that's probably the appropriate material to use.
I'm looking at the DOTD website on the I-20 Bossier. Said the cost was projected to be $128 million. Did it come in around that, or were there some overages?
Yes, it did. We're pretty much on budget for that. I know it really doesn't feel like it, but pretty much on schedule as well, which really is as a monumental feat. We finished all major construction by the end of 2025 and had all the lanes and ramps open, you'll remember, before Christmas. Yes, you obviously have some final tasks to complete now over the last several months. Striping is very weather dependent. And so it can take some time to get that fully down and make sure everything is correct. But the constant communication between our project team and the contractor really kept this project on task and on budget as well.
Can you explain real quickly, because what's going on I-20, Burt Coons, traffic, there's some delays. Y'all are doing something out there, right?
We are. We're extending the length of the deceleration lane at that off-ramp on I-20 westbound at Burt Coons. We've done a similar project at several other interchanges around the district and other areas as well, but you allow additional room for vehicles to get over and start slowing down without slowing down in the actual travel lane. And so really it's a safety improvement type of project, so you don't have vehicles traveling at interstate speed suddenly coming upon vehicles that are slowing down to exit. You allow additional lane space for those people to get over and slow down and get out of the way of people that are in the travel lane. Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of that type of project.
Gotcha. Yeah, and an entrance ramp is not a slowdown lane,
no.
By the way. for those people that want to go to the end and stop.
Yes, definitely.
Aaron Buchanan with DOTD. Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, emergency personnel and first responders are busy this morning.
It's a busy morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Bossier City, Benton Road, near Broadway, which is a few blocks north of Shed Road. There are several units on the scene there where they're just getting the information, just starting to come out. It may be related to a Shreveport shooting, but there are at least 10 units on the scene. Maybe the SWAT team involved. So they're on the scene there. Now, I do have information that there was a shooting in Shreveport just before 5 this morning in Southwest Shreveport on Kingston Road near Williamson Way. And police are still investigating that. I'm not sure if this is the shooting that this one's related to or not. But again, right now, a big scene is happening on Benton Road. It's not too far. It's one block from North Side Drive, but it's a couple of blocks north of Shed Road. So just keep that in mind.
Car wash.
Yeah, it's going to be
Chico Fish, that area there.
A lot of emergency traffic there. And also early this morning, there was a fire at the Wonder Oasis Water Park.
That's right, by us. It's up here.
The old Watertown, yeah. The police chief in Greenwood, Shane Gibson, tells me one of his patrol officers saw the glow coming from the property and found it on fire. And it apparently was confined to a concession stand and a gift shop. It's actually in the city limits of Shreveport, so the fire department went out.
Okay, my first reaction, how do you set a water park on fire?
Yeah, it was in the concession stand, so it's somebody, you know, it's a vagrant, obviously. They're, you know, I would assume. It's hard when you close a property down to properly secure it so vagrants don't get on there. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's really a troublesome thing to take care of. So they have it out. They had 70th Street closed for a little while, but 70th Street's back open. Mm-hmm. And fire investigators have been on the scene trying to figure out the cause of the fire. No one hurt, and the fire is out. But it was a roaring fire for a little while this morning. It looks like the concession stand and the gift shop pretty much gone, so or destroyed. So we'll see you know, if they can figure out who did it. I don't know. Do you still have cameras up out there? If you've closed the property down, I'm not sure. I would certainly keep them out there if I owned it myself, but who knows?
Because the hope is somebody will come in and resurrect the property.
Sure.
You don't want it now even more destroyed.
Right, exactly. And as these kind of things start to happen, then the chances of somebody buying it and reopening
it
get less and less. So hopefully they can, you know, It's minor damage, we hope. I don't know yet. It doesn't look good, though, because it looked like it was a pretty big fire at a moment.
Yeah.
Early this morning.
Yeah, there was some video or some streaming that was...
So you got a busy morning going on in Bossier, still an active scene. Benton Road, just north of Shed Road. Keep that in mind this morning. The things out at the Water Oasis Park, they've gone from there now, so...
Now, if you live in North Bossier and you have to come in, I would avoid Benton Road.
Yes.
I hate to route you to Airline Drive.
I know.
But
use the parkway, that carriageway is the best. The carriageway is just north of where this is happening, so you might be able to get to
and
that.
They may be routing people that way anyway.
They might be. They might be forcing you to get on the carriageway, which is fine and dandy. Just remember the speed limit. That, you know, slow it down up there, so... Be careful.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and be sure to download the free Keel app. Warning, warning, warning. Yeah, if you live in North Bossier and usually traverse Benton Road coming into work, I would avoid it this morning. either get on the Walter Obigbee carriageway.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to route you that way anyway, or just, I hate to route you to Airline Drive, especially with traffic problems, but there are several, like 10 mm-hmm. Bossier Police units at last report late last hour.
Hoping to catch up with them in the next 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And see what's going on.
We've reached out to the Bossier Police spokesperson, and he was en route to the scene earlier. So we're hoping to get an update from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, avoid that area. I'm sure they... Now, apparently there was a shooting in Shreveport in the 5 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they think this may be a suspect that might have been involved in that. Allegedly, we don't know.
Might be related to that. We don't know yet. We're waiting to hear what Bossier's got. And they'll get in touch with us as soon as he gets kind of details from the detectives on the scene. And it may still be an active crime scene area, so they may not have a whole lot of information yet. So we'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
Keep you posted. Texted yesterday with Mayor Tom Arsenault confirming whether or not we were going to have the Humor and Harmony Festival this year. And he confirmed that there will not be a festival this year. He wouldn't give me a whole lot of information. He said much of that will have to come from G-Unit. But we can kind of only speculate at this point about why. And I think it's simply a couple of things. It is the G-Unit team is working to get the Millennium Studios functioning and get all the things repaired in there. They need to get it up and going. And then for Humor and Harmony, they really wanted the permanent G-Dome. They wanted it built and in use. They didn't want to bring in another temporary structure for this year.
Right.
And so there's no time now to get that built in time for a festival this year. So they have decided not to do a festival. They were previously going to do it in March, but then there were some scheduling conflicts with some things and some buildings. And so they pushed that back, thinking maybe they'd do it in the fall. Well, now the decision apparently has been made that they are not going to have the festival this year. So hopefully it'll return in 2027, because, mm-hmm. I mean, that pumped a lot of money into our community.
Is the new permanent G-Dome expected to be finished by 2027?
I don't know. I don't know what the build of that is. I know they've gotten the permits, and I think they're ready to go.
So they're still a go.
Everything's still a go.
Okay.
So they're working on that. So we will keep you posted on that. But right now, Humor and Harmony is off. They didn't hold it last year. They held the first one in August of 2024. I think they learned from that. You
was
don't
that
want it 24? In August.
That was that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, Aaron.
Yep. You know you don't want it in August. Outdoor events here in August are not good.
Well, because at one point they were talking about Independence Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want an event in Independence Stadium in August.
No, you absolutely do not. So they moved it. A lot of the events they were going to do at Independence mm-hmm. Stadium, they moved. They used municipal. They used Stage Works. Of course, they used the temporary dome. Several locations. They used Festival Plaza for the kids' event. But outdoor events, like the Red River District, when all those folks were getting dressed up and being outside in August, ooh-wee.
Yeah.
That's melt-worthy. So, anyway, we'll keep you posted. If anything changes, we'll let you know.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I'm sure the Bossier City Police spokesman is just waiting for us to call him. He has nothing else to do.
He's kind of busy. It's a busy morning in Bossier this morning.
Multiple units up on Benton Road mm-hmm. in North Bossier, just south of the carriageway mm-hmm. in that area by the car wash.
Yes.
On Benton Road and Broadway.
Right.
Several units. the report that we got was a possible suspect that might have been involved in a shooting in Shreveport early this morning.
Mm-hmm. There was a shooting this morning, South Shreveport, about 5 o'clock hour, shortly before five, on Kingston Road near Williamson Way, right there near Riding Club Lane. A woman apparently was shot. A suspect apparently fled the scene. We don't know if this is or these two are related. Someone has texted me to say that it may be a suspect from the Shreveport shooting that Bossier police may be dealing with. We don't know that. That is not confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting to find out the details. But again, there was a shooting early today in Southwest Shreveport, Kingston Road, Williamson Way. And now Bossier police are dealing with what appears to be some sort of incident involving a suspect. Don't know the circumstances yet. I mean, we're waiting to find out. They're busy trying to get the details. But several units, the last report we were told there were at least 10 units on the scene, and that's impacting Benton Road, just north of Shed Road, between Shed Road and the carriageway. So just keep that in mind this morning.
Yeah. Be very careful. Avoid Benton Road. Again, if you're coming in from North Bossier, I just wouldn't even come down Benton Road.
Yes.
Because you're going to get stopped and it may be backed up. Don't know yet.
Don't know.
If somebody's out there and say, hey, yeah, don't come this way.
Right.
Let us know.
Really stacking up. Use Airline. Perhaps they're directing traffic onto the carriageway. I don't know that at this point, the southbound traffic. I'm not sure if northbound traffic is still moving on Benton Road, but again, they had lots of police presence there, and it a busy, busy scene this morning. You just don't like to wake up to that. And we had another episode in West Shreveport at the Wonder Oasis Water Park.
Oh my gosh.
There was a fire early today, and the police chief in Greenwood tells me that one of his patrol officers saw the glow early this morning and found it on fire. He says it was confined to the concession stand and the gift shop, and that is obviously in the city limits of Shreveport, so the Shreveport Fire Department responded and put that out. No injuries in there in that, but again, that was a pretty big fire for a few minutes early this morning. They had to put that out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a busy, busy morning.
So that's basically cleared up out on 70th.
Yes.
So.
Yes. They've left that scene, so I don't think and that had 70th Street closed for a little while because they had a lot of smoke from the fire that was covering up 70th Street, so they rerouted traffic.
And that's sad because you're hoping somebody will come in and take over that property.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's for sale.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, I mean, gosh, you want that to be opened again, back up for the summer.
I would like to see that get back open, a new buyer come in. It needs a lot of work, though. I mean, it's obvious that there are some things that need to be taken care of there. May need new slides. I don't know. I know some of the pavement needs replacing, and now, obviously, you need a new concession stand and gift shop.
It makes me think, and Ruben, I'm sure you remember this show, The IT Crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember The IT Crowd?
Of course.
It was a British sitcom comedy to computer geek nerds down in the basement of this company, and he's in one of them. He was at a water park where there was a fire, and the other one goes, "How do you set a fire at a water park?" That was my first reaction when I heard Watertown was on fire. I'm
pretty
like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
I know the water's not running at the moment, but it just made me think of that.
Right,
it is ironic.
It made me laugh. I'm
definitely
sorry.
So yeah, keep those incidents in mind. The Bossier scene is an active scene right now, and we're hoping to hear from those folks. Probably shortly after 8 o'clock, we probably will be able to get all the details. So we'll know a little bit more before the morning's up.
Yeah, because we did speak to the Bossier City Police spokesperson earlier this morning, but he was on his way to the scene, and obviously a very fluid situation.
Sure.
A lot going on, so we hope to hear back from him sooner rather than later.
And if you are in that traffic on Benton Road and in that area, message us on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Let us know what you're seeing there. If you want to shoot a picture, that's fine too. Just kind of let us know what's going on.
Yeah, is traffic backed up from the carriageway back toward the 220?
Or is everything off to the side at a business location? Right. And most of that's business. I don't think there's much residential right there, at least on the west side anyway.
Right.
So just keep us posted if you see anything over there, what's going on.
Yeah. A lot to talk with Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton. We spoke with Katie McLean earlier, and she was talking about she was not going to vote for a budget if there was not a teacher pay raise included in the budget.
Yes.
But we don't know what that budget does include.
Right. Is there a pay raise in it?
Is there pay raise?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the question of the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
One teacher said, I have a religious objection.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to be handled?
And is there a teacher shortage?
Teacher shortage.
Mm-hmm. And today's the last day of class. Today's the last day of school in Caddo. I told Mr. Burton we'll try to get to all of that. And he texted me. He said, I'll talk fast.
We're going to talk to him in about 10 minutes. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, we did get a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Kenny from Benton says Benton Road is clear as of 7:20. So that's what we've got.
Good news.
Yeah, very good news. Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us coming up just after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Keith, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Hey, Mike, good morning.
Lots to get to. Let's jump right to it. Of course, teacher pay raises. School board member Katie McLean says, hey, she's not going to support the budget if there's not a pay raise on it. Is there a pay raise included in the new budget?
Well, we're still in the middle of the budget process. We won't have a final draft to our board until probably a couple of weeks. But, yes, I mean, it's been something that we have said is a priority. And our plan as of now is to ensure that there is a percentage pay raise across the board for all teachers, for all staff, and not only a pay raise for everyone, but also those staff members like paraprofessionals, bus drivers, that really many times struggle with a livable wage, ensuring that it is a higher percentage than everyone else.
What's the percentage you're contemplating at this point?
Between 5% and 6%.
And what would cost?
5%, if you look at current numbers, would be about $10.5 million.
Okay. And you have the money for that?
Well, as I said, we're budgeting now. So, okay. I mean, it's
10 like, and a half you know, or two like and a half?
I'm sorry?
Did you say 10 and a half or two and a half?
For a 5% pay raise for every staff member would cost us $10.5 million.
Okay,
10.5.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
On the pay raise front, Mr. Burton, there's been kind of this debate about should that be up to local governments to do the pay raise? Should it be up to the state legislature? Where do you fall in that argument?
Well, as long as they will continue increasing our MFP dollars, it has been, you know, it's been stagnant for many years, and we see the cost of maintaining our buildings going up. I mean, inflation is hitting everyone. The cost of diesel right now is tremendous. The cost of produce for that of course that we're using for food and nutrition. So all those costs are rising, but yet MFP is pretty flat. And so as long as the state will be committed to increasing the dollars that it really should flow through them for all districts for instructional purposes, then I think we will be better, able to take any of the local dollars that we have and and provide future pay raises.
Keith, then we also heard a report that Caddo Parish is down about 400 teaching positions. Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. The number there includes a large number of those teachers who are in a teaching certification program, so they've not yet finished their teacher certification. We all know that the numbers of people entering colleges of education right now across the nation, those numbers are dwindling. And so many times we are hiring those that are coming in with different degrees. They may have degrees in biology, or they may have degrees in English, or, you know, business. And what we do is provide an alternative pathway for them to earn that teacher certification. But no, we do not have. Matter of fact, at May 1st, our fill rate, we were at 98% of all classrooms filled. And we are, I looked actually this morning, we have 71 new hires that are in the queue right now to be processed. So no, we will have solid numbers. Now, of course, we always need more. We're never as a large district as we are. We're never going to be 100% staff. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. But anytime you're looking at 54 schools, you're going to have always people having to resign for personal or professional reasons. You've got retirees, you've got health concerns. And so because of that, we're always going to have some vacancies.
The 5% pay increase, we're already one of the top 10 paid parishes for teachers. Where will that put us with regard to Bossier just gave a raise? We know Red River's the highest paid. Where does that put Caddo now? Does it make us very competitive with those highest paid parishes?
Yeah, I think if you look at it won't put us in the top three, but it definitely will put us in around, I think, number six as far as top pay. We need to do that. I want it to be not a one-time stipend. I want to get away from giving just one-time checks. I want to ensure that we have an appropriate pay raise that is going to be felt by all employees. And I really want to, as I said earlier, I really want to look at, you know, the gap that we have between some of our staff members. We've got to address the low pay with paraprofessionals, some of the bus aides that we have, our custodians, those that really care for our students and ensure that they arrive safely. We need to make sure that we pay them accordingly.
Does this pay raise include yourself and your other executive staffers?
Yes, it okay. will. It all will, right. Because I think we're all, you know, we looked at that. There's some that say, well, what about if we pull anyone who is a principal and above and we don't pay them? There's just a minimum amount of savings there. And, of course, we've looked at that data and we've shared that. But my concern is I hope I'm working just as hard as everyone else. I know our principals are. And so I think, you know, we need to be able to support everyone with the pay raise that is needed in education today.
As you're looking at the budget to account for these pay raises, are you going to have to cut someplace else to implement these raises?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, because we're not going to have an additional $10 million coming
right,
in.
Right.
So we have to look in. And, you know, one of the things that our team has been, I'm so proud of them at looking at ways we can be more efficient. As we are hiring and staffing, I ask everyone, can you draw a straight line between that position and a classroom? And if you cannot, then we need to really rethink that position. So how we are able to handle retirees and replacing those, especially at central office, especially at those at that middle tier, how we're able to reduce those, how we're able to cut costs. There are lots of resources that we spend money on that, again, not necessarily I think is driving a lot of improvement in education. And so we are becoming lean and really building our focus around are we providing teachers with the very best resources and technology? Does our classroom schedule reflect the time needed to teach and use those materials? And are we building our content knowledge? If we do that, then it's pretty easy to prioritize those expenditures that, again, directly draw a straight line back to classrooms.
Well, I did see where you're cutting the mimeograph machine budget substantially.
Yeah, we reduced a lot of that purple ink is just gone. Yeah. Yeah. I missed the smell.
Exactly. Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Ten Commandments issue. Apparently, there's at least one teacher who has taken issue with the Ten Commandments being placed in the classroom on religious grounds. How are you handling that? What's happening with those kinds of objections, if there are any others?
Yeah, we sent a request to the Attorney General's office last month for guidance on, because in the law there was no exception made at all for any type of exemptions. And so we requested some guidance through their office. They required a resolution coming for our board for them to give us that guidance. And so our board voted Tuesday night to approve a resolution asking the Attorney General for further guidance. That's been sent off, and so now we're waiting for that to come. Of course, today is the last day for students. Tomorrow's the last day for teachers. So this is really going to be guidance that's going to impact us for the fall of 26.
But we are planning on implementing the Ten Commandments in all classrooms beginning next year.
Oh, they're there now.
Oh, they're already
there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're in.
Oh, yeah.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple months ago. Matter of fact, yeah. We've had them up, and we've had only two staff members that requested again to be exempted, and the law doesn't allow that. And so we are just asking for guidance since again this is something that's coming from the state.
Have there been any complaints from any parents about the Ten Commandments or children?
There has not. One of the teachers did make the comment that her concern was coming from a student, but we have not received anything from the district level from any parents. Because again, we showed them what the law says. We wanted to make sure they understood the purpose. There are many times where you go into public buildings throughout, you know, our nation, and you're going to find the Ten Commandments posted. So we're not indoctrinating any student. We're just simply following what our state legislature has laid out in front of us.
When you say there was an objection by a student, what grade was that? What age group?
It was an elementary student, because the two teachers that we heard from were from the elementary schools.
When you say religious objection that was mentioned by one teacher, do we know if there have been any other exemptions across the state and any other districts where the Attorney General has allowed an exemption?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Now, I've asked fellow superintendents around the state, and they have not received any guidance. And so we wanted, of course, we received the initial guidance on just what posters to put up, where should they be, and that was just coming directly from the law. But as far as someone asking to be excluded, we need more direction on that.
Okay. Last day of school, as you mentioned, what are the big plans for the summer? What are kind of improvements ahead, things you'll be working on this summer?
Tons of training. We are restructuring how we work with our principals and training them earlier to be able to be prepared. So proud. We've got, you know, approximately 2,200 students graduating this week. And, you know, Aaron, one of the things that I hope everyone realizes, we set a record with 106 kids graduating, not only with a high school degree, but also with an associate's degree.
That's awesome. I mean,
yeah, and that costs their parents nothing. And so 106 kids graduating, 8 kids this week with a perfect ACT score walking across the stage. So it's a happy time of the year. We can't wait to celebrate them.
Keith, what percentage of students is that for graduation rates?
You mean cohort graduation rate?
I'm not sure what that means. I mean, as far as the number of seniors that are in school, when you have 2,200 graduating, what percentage of those students is that, the graduating?
Well, we've got 2,342 seniors, and I can't tell you until tomorrow when we end Captain Shreve how many total will graduate, because of the fact we still have students that are working toward graduation now. Okay. You know, many of them are just, you know, they might have missed a test, or many of them might have been absent, and so they're making up. We also have summer graduation for any of those that possibly didn't meet graduation requirements in May. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able, you know, once everything is done, I can give you final numbers, but we're talking about a small number that aren't going to be graduating with peers.
Well, it sounds like it's all good news, and we appreciate your efforts and hope you have a wonderful summer.
Thank you, sir. It's going to be a busy time of the year.
All right, Keith. Thank you so much. Right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Big Stories of the Day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We do have an update on what's happened in Bossier. The suspect is deceased from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It was related to an early morning Shreveport shooting. It ended in Bossier City, Benton Road, just north of Shed Road there. I'm not sure at what business, but we'll get more details coming up from the folks in Bossier just after 8.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty. Situation started in Shreveport, we understand, and ended up in Bossier City on Benton Road. Bossier City Police spokesperson Sean Poudrier joining us. Sean, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we understand there was a shooting early in Shreveport in the 5 o'clock hour, I believe. In South Shreveport, the suspect then left that scene and ended up in Bossier. Was there a chase? How did he end up at this location?
So during the incident in Shreveport, SPD put a bolo out for the vehicle. Our officers, just on routine patrol on Benton Road, spotted the vehicle. By the time the officer turned around, once he spotted the vehicle, the suspect had turned on to Broadway and pulled over in a parking lot right off of Benton and Broadway. The officers then gets out of his vehicle, starts giving him commands. Other officers arrive on scene. No response. When they got enough officers there to make contact, they found the suspect with a self-inflicted gun, what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Did the officer hear the shot?
No, he did not. Okay. I specifically asked that question. He said he did not hear a gunshot.
Okay. What kind of vehicle was the suspect in?
It was a white sedan-type vehicle, like a four-door car.
Okay. And it's confirmed this is the suspect from the Shreveport shooting?
Yes, sir. SPD's on scene over here as well. They did confirm that he is a suspect from the shooting this morning.
Do we know, was that a domestic incident? Do we know details on that shooting yet?
From what we've gathered so far, it was a domestic-related incident. I don't know the details of the incident over there. Haven't gotten that far yet, but it does appear to be a domestic-related incident.
So there weren't any Shreveport officers involved in the chase. Y'all just spotted the vehicle, and then you guys tried to pull him over.
Correct. Okay. When our officers spotted the vehicle, they were going the opposite direction of the suspect vehicle. They turned around. By the time they got turned around, and the suspect had already pulled over in the parking lot of the church, which is right behind the car wash right there at Benton and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So he had already pulled over when the officers made initial contact with him.
And he never got out of the car?
No, ma'am. Never got out of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, and I'm making assumptions, that he probably fired the shot as the officer was turning around when he saw that he was then being pursued.
I would say that that's probably a safe assumption. With the officer being as close as he was, not hearing a gunshot, I would say that would be a safe bet, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you, any idea what made him stop? I mean, he knew he was done then? I mean, he knew it was over, I guess?
Well, I guess so. He had a flat tire on the front of his car. One of his tires was flat, so I don't know if he knew that he just wasn't going to get away.
Okay.
So that could play a part in it. But I tell you, this domestic violence is out of hand. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Do we know if he's a Bossier resident, why he fled into Bossier at this point?
I do not know that. I don't believe he's a Bossier resident, but I don't know why he came to Bossier. I don't have that answer yet.
Are you releasing any names or information yet?
I do not have a name yet. I'm going to go make contact with SPD in a minute and see if they have a name yet. I'm sure they do, but I have not been made aware of it.
Have you gotten a report on the condition of the shooting victim?
I asked the SPD officers on scene. They just said that she was at the hospital and they hadn't got any update when I left the scene a few minutes ago.
But he was pronounced dead on the scene in Bossier.
The coroner's on scene, yes.
Okay. Was the SWAT team involved?
No. Originally, they were going to get them, but once they figured out what had happened and what transpired, they canceled the SWAT team over here.
And no officers fired any shots, nor were any shots fired at any officers?
No, ma'am. No officers fired, or they were not fired upon.
Okay. Any idea on an age of this guy or anything about him at this point?
I don't have any of that. Okay. No, ma'am.
Well, glad that no officers were hurt. And
me too.
It's a sad incident. Domestic violence, like you said, it's a big problem in our community, no doubt.
It is. And I would tell your listeners, if you see it, you hear it, or you feel like something's going on, or if you're involved in it, report it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's we've got to defeat this. And it's becoming a common occurrence. For sure.
We're talking with Bossier City Police spokesperson Sean Poudrier. Sean, you bring up an interesting point, because if you do see something, a lot of people's first reaction is, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to make a call because I don't want to cause any problems, but they should make a call.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely should. And you can remain anonymous. I mean, absolutely make the call. It may prevent things like this from happening. You know, this is going on more often than it should. And if you see or hear or know anything, report it. Mm-hmm. Stay anonymous. If you don't want to be involved, remain anonymous. At least we can go check the situation out and see, you know, what's going on.
I would assume you guys found a gun in his vehicle. What kind of gun did you find?
That I don't know. I do know they found a firearm. I don't know what type of gun it was.
Okay. Sean, thanks for always being available. We appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sean. Stay safe. Mike and McCarty.
Yes, sir. You too.
101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm sorry. This is funny. Go Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Go Tigers.
Wow.
Coach O, baby. Coach O is back.
I would have never thought that in a million years.
What? Okay, but Aaron, what a genius move.
Yeah.
Name me any better recruiter at LSU.
Oh, gosh. That's
ever.
The truth.
That man can recruit.
Mm-hmm. He's beloved. I mean, people love him. And they love to play for him, and he loves, mamas and daddies love him when he comes to the house. Hey, I'm Coach O.
Well,
I would love that.
He's from there. I mean, he's the genuine article.
Mm-hmm.
He's from there. And when you hear him, you know.
He loves
he's
it.
He's from Louisiana.
Yeah, it's in his blood.
He's going to be special assistant to defense
mm-hmm.
and recruiting.
Yes. Lane Kiffin, that's pretty genius.
It's Lane Kiffin, baby.
Pretty genius.
And I'll tell you what else that tells me Lane Kiffin is confident.
Oh, sure.
Because a lot of people, I've worked for guys that try to hold you down.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And for Lane Kiffin to bring in a former head coach?
Yes.
Genius.
A guy who could step into his job at any moment, you know, if they wanted. He's not threatened at all.
He did it for 6 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize he'd been head coach for 6 years.
He's got a ring, baby. A 2019 national ring, you know.
Probably one of the best college teams ever in the history of college football.
Yes.
That 2019 LSU team.
Mm-hmm.
Best college team ever.
I think you're probably right. Undefeated. Not a loss. Not really
but
even
also,
challenged.
Just, yeah, not even. But you look at everything. Strength of schedule. You look at how they did what they did.
Yes.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Incredible season.
And Coach O, and let him through it.
See him back on the sideline.
I know. They're perfect. I'm excited.
Go Tigers. I can't wait to hear that again. Go Tigers. I can't even do it anymore. It hurts my voice to do it.
Yeah.
He's just his beloved. He really is. And it was, you know, when LSU let him go, it was time. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the LSU fan is pretty persnickery. We want to win every year.
Now, my wife went to Northwestern back in the 80s, and she was in the nursing program. So while she was at Northwestern in Natchitoches, she was a trainer on the football team. Now, Aaron, Bobby Hebert was the quarterback. This is at Northwestern.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mark Duper, who went on to play in the NFL, mm-hmm. wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, amongst others. Ed Orgeron was on defense. I mean, this team was stacked.
Golly.
Joe Delaney.
Oh, my.
Running back.
Whoo.
Yeah.
May that hero rest in peace. Goodness.
So, and Dina has said, she's told me some stories about, and Orgeron and Hebert were roommates.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, can you imagine those two?
Wow. Wow.
College as roommates.
Which one sounds more Cajun? Holy cow. I don't even know if anyone else would understand what they were talking about. It's like Bobby Boucher up in there. Nobody knows what they have to have closed captioning on their on their room. That would have been fun.
So yeah, she does have some stories.
I bet
about Coach O.
I bet, no kidding. It's gonna be good to see him back on the sideline. There's no doubt about it.
I'm excited
coming out of that tunnel. Oh yeah.
That's exciting. There's a lot of excitement about this season just in general.
Yes.
For LSU.
I hope we have a good one. We need a good one.
Very cool.
Definitely.
Very cool. We spoke with Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton earlier. Teacher pay raise on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ten Commandments. We talked about, is Caddo Parish short 400 teachers? Hear what he's got to say in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Is a pay raise on the books for Caddo Parish school employees? Keith Burton, Caddo Parish School Superintendent, answers that question right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Keith, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Hey, Mike, good morning.
Lots to get to. Let's jump right to it. Of course, teacher pay raises. School board member Katie McLean says, hey, she's not going to support the budget if there's not a pay raise on it. Is there a pay raise included in the new budget?
Well, we're still in the middle of the budget process. We won't have a final draft to our board until probably a couple of weeks. But, yes, I mean, it's been something that we have said is a priority, and our plan as of now is to ensure that there is a percentage across the board for all teachers, for all staff, and not only a pay raise for everyone, but also those staff members like paraprofessionals, bus drivers, that really many times struggle with a livable wage, mm-hmm. ensuring that it is a higher percentage than everyone else.
What's the percentage you're contemplating at this point?
Between 5% and 6%.
And what would that cost?
5%, if you look at current numbers, would be about $10.5 million.
Okay. And you have the money for that?
Well, as I said, we're budgeting now. So, okay. I mean, it's
10.5 or 2.5?
I'm sorry?
Did you say 10.5 or 2.5?
For a 5% pay raise for every staff member would cost us $10.5 million.
Okay.
10.5.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
On the pay raise front, Mr. Burton, there's been kind of this debate about should that be up to local governments to do the pay raise? Should it be up to the state legislature? Where do you fall in that argument?
Well, as long as they will continue increasing our MFP dollars, it has been, you know, it's been stagnant for many years, and we see the cost of maintaining our buildings going up. I mean, inflation is hitting everyone. The cost of diesel right now is tremendous. The cost of produce for that of course that we're using for food and nutrition. So all those costs are rising, but yet MFP is pretty flat. And so as long as the state will be committed to increasing the dollars that it really should flow through them for all districts for instructional purposes, then I think we will be better, able to take any of the local dollars that we have and provide future pay raises.
Keith, then we also heard a report that Caddo Parish is down about 400 teaching positions. Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. The number there includes a large number of those teachers who are in a teaching certification program, so they've not yet finished their teacher certification. We all know that the numbers of people entering colleges of education right now across the nation, those numbers are dwindling. And so many times we are hiring those that are coming in with different degrees. They may have degrees in biology, or they may have degrees in English, or, business. And what we do is provide an alternative pathway for them to earn that teacher certification. But no, we do not have. Matter of fact, at May 1st, our fill rate, we were at 98% of all classrooms filled. And we are, I looked actually this morning, we have 71 new hires that are in the queue right now to be processed. So no, we will have solid numbers. Now, of course, we always need more. We're never as a large district as we are. We're never going to be 100% staff. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. But, anytime you're looking at 54 schools, you're going to have always people having to resign for personal or professional reasons. You've got retirees, you've got health concerns. And so because of that, we're always going to have some vacancies.
The 5% pay increase, we're already one of the top 10 paid parishes for teachers. Where will that put us with regard to Bossier just gave a raise, and we know Red River's the highest paid. Where does that put Caddo now? Does it make us very competitive with those highest paid parishes?
Yeah, I think if you look at it won't put us in the top three, but it definitely will put us in around, I think, number six. as far as top pay. We need to do that. I want it to be not a one-time stipend. I want to get away from giving just one-time checks. I want to ensure that we have an appropriate pay raise that is going to be felt by all employees. And I really want to, as I said earlier, I really want to look at, you know, the gap that we have between some of our staff members. We've got to address the low pay with paraprofessionals, some of the bus aides that we have, our custodians, those that really care for our students and ensure that they arrive safely. We need to make sure that we pay them accordingly.
Does this pay raise include yourself and your other executive staffers?
Yes, it okay. will. It all will, right. Because I think we're all, you know, we looked at that. There's some, you know, there's some that say, well, what about if we pull anyone who is a principal and above and we don't pay them? There's such just a minimum amount of savings there. And, of course, we've looked at that data and we've shared that. But my concern is I hope I'm working just as hard as everyone else. I know our principals are. And so I think, you know, we need to be able to support everyone with the pay raise that is needed in education today.
As you're looking at the budget to account for these pay raises, are you going to have to cut someplace else to implement these raises?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, because we're not going to have an additional $10 million coming
right,
in.
Right.
So we have to look in. And, you know, one of the things that our team has been, I'm so proud of them at looking at ways we can be more efficient. As we are hiring and staffing, I ask everyone, can you draw a straight line between that position and a classroom? And if you cannot, then we need to really rethink that position. So how we are able to handle retirees and replacing those, especially at central office, especially at those at that middle tier, how we're able to reduce those, how we're able to cut costs. There are lots of you know, resources that we spend money on that, again, not necessarily I think is driving a lot of improvement in education. And so we are becoming lean and really building our focus around, are we providing teachers with the very best resources and technology? Does our classroom schedule reflect the time needed to teach and use those materials? And are we building our content knowledge? If we do that, then it's pretty easy to prioritize those expenditures that, again, directly draw a straight line back to classrooms.
Well, I did see where you're cutting the mimeograph machine budget substantially.
Yeah, we reduced a lot of that purple ink is just gone.
Yeah.
I missed the smell.
I missed the smell, exactly.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Ten Commandments issue. Apparently there's at least one teacher who has taken issue with the Ten Commandments being placed in the classroom on religious grounds. How are you handling that? What's happening with those kinds of objections, if there are any others?
Yeah, we sent a request to the Attorney General's office last month for guidance on, because in the law there was no exception made at all for any type of exemptions. And so we requested some guidance through their office. They required a resolution coming for our board for them to give us that guidance. And so our board voted Tuesday night to approve a resolution asking the Attorney General for further guidance. That's been sent off, and so now we're waiting for that to come. Of course, today is the last day for students. Tomorrow's the last day for teachers. So this is really going to be guidance that's going to impact us for the fall of 26.
But we are planning on implementing the Ten Commandments in all classrooms beginning next year.
Oh, they're there.
They're there
now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're in.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple months ago. Matter of fact, yeah, we've had them up, and we've had only two staff members that requested again to be exempted, and the law doesn't allow that, and so we are just asking for guidance. Since again, this is something that's coming from the state.
Have there been any complaints from any parents about the Ten Commandments or children?
There. One of the teachers did make the comment that her concern was coming from a student, but we have not received anything from the district level from any parents. Because again, we showed them what the law says. We wanted to make sure they understood the purpose. There are many times where you go into public buildings throughout, you know, our nation, and you're going to find the Ten Commandments posted. So we're not indoctrinating any student. We're just simply following what our state legislature has laid out in front of us.
When you say there was an objection by a student, what grade was that? What age group?
It was an elementary student, because the two students that we, our two teachers that we heard from, were from the elementary schools.
When you say religious objection that was mentioned by one teacher, do we know if there have been any other exemptions across the state and any other districts where the Attorney General has allowed an exemption?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Now, I've asked fellow superintendents around the state, and they have not received any guidance. And so we wanted, of course, we received the initial guidance on just what posters to put up, where should they be, and that was just coming directly from the law. But as far as someone asking to be excluded, we need more direction on that.
Okay. Last day of school, as you mentioned, what are the big plans for the summer? What are kind of improvements ahead, things you'll be working on this summer?
Tons of training. We are restructuring how we work with our principals and training them earlier to be able to be prepared. So proud. We've got, you know, approximately 2,200 students graduating this week. And, you know, Aaron, one of the things that I hope everyone realizes, we have a record with 106 kids graduating, not only with a high school degree, but also with an associate's degree.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that costs their parents nothing. And so 106 kids graduating, 8 kids this week with a perfect ACT score walking across the stage. So it's a happy time of the year. Can't wait to celebrate them.
Keith, what percentage of students is that for graduation, graduation rates?
You mean cohort graduation rate?
I'm not sure what that means. I mean, as far as the number of seniors that are in school, when you have 2,200 graduating, what percentage of those students is that, the graduating?
Well, we've got 2,342 seniors, and I can't tell you until tomorrow when we end Captain Shreve how many total will graduate, because of the fact we still have students that are working toward graduation now. Okay. You know, many of them are just, you know, they might have missed a test, or many of them might have been absent, and so they're making up. We also have graduation for any of those that possibly didn't meet graduation requirements in May. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able, you know, once everything is done, I can give you final numbers, but we're talking about a small number that aren't going to be graduating with peers.
Well, it sounds like it's all good news, and we appreciate your efforts and hope you have a wonderful summer.
Thank you, sir. It's going to be a busy time of the year.
All right, Keith. Thank you so much. Right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, following up on a couple things that we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, we said Coach O back at LSU, and my wife was on the training staff at Northwestern when Coach O and Bobby Hebert was on that team. And I said, you know, it was Mark Duper and Joe Delaney. I mean, just an incredible team.
That's amazing.
I did not realize that team also included the world famous Steve Graff.
Our buddy,
Steve Graff.
Go, Steve.
From Hooking Up, Tracking Down. He says, me and O came in together. I got a text from him. Said, I was the free safety 79 through 83.
Wow.
Good times on some really talented teams.
Boy, I'd love to go out drinking with Steve and tell some stories about that year.
Well, yeah, he follows up and says, lots of stories, but cannot talk about them on the air.
Yeah, that's going to have to be a beer drinking night. I'm coming to Natchitoches, Steve. I want to hear them.
Now, I also got a text yesterday that really disappointed me. It says, rumor has it you are too chicken to compete in the crawfish eating contest.
Ooh.
Because you know I'm entered into it.
Wait, who sent that?
Mike Mangum from Twin Blends.
Oh, man. Wow.
Dead gummit. I didn't realize that that was the same day I agreed to do this remote tomorrow.
Yes.
A remote broadcast. R&R Tire going to be out there tomorrow. But it's just the same time as the celebrity crawfish eating contest.
Tell him he doesn't have a chance unless he eats the shells. There's a firefighter in the Shreveport Fire Department that eats the freaking shells.
He goes, I can't promise anything. I'm not a fast eater, but I'm not going to eat the shells.
So, thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
No, me
thank
either.
You.
I'm
yeah.
not either. And I am pretty fast,
mm-hmm.
but I don't eat the shells.
No, definitely not eating the shells.
So,
make it's
it
painful.
Make it a great day.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow's
Festival opens
Friday.
Tomorrow. Mudbug yeah. Madness opens tomorrow, runs through Sunday. If you've never been, Festival Plaza will be popping.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.